Oh, honey. Oh, honey, it is time for our last episode, but also a very special one because we're doing a highlight reel to show you how to become the best version of yourself. So enjoy some of our favorite clips, and I hope you can learn from them too. This first clip is about staying away from negativity.
Like, I used to get the most hate on Vine when Vine was still around. That was like my number one platform for like really horrible comments. It's because I was like a girl trying to do comedy, and I was just learning throughout the process too. And my videos got better and better. And then like on other platforms, when I started to like continue to do content and bettering my content, like the comments were like starting, people saw I didn't really care about like things that didn't even make sense. It's like, oh, you're a whore, you're a slut. I'm like, how am I a slut from like a comedy video? Like, what in the world? Like,
it's amazing that you pushed through all that and you continued, and like, look at you now. Like, you have, like, you've built something that's so, so strong. But you use that, like, you didn't allow any of that to like wash away your foundation of like your overall, like, you love doing what you did. And I think that's another thing, is like, find something you're passionate about as well.
Yeah, it's so important.
And like, spill time into that, because the amount of time that you put into something, you'll get out so much more. It really is, you reap what you sow. And you can't allow like a couple little things to, or comments from other people that don't know you. Like, that's the other thing too, whether it's social media or even people at school, like, they don't know you.
And they're just getting a version.
Yeah, they're just getting like they're just judging. Mm. And you have to forgive them for that, because a lot of the time, those judgments come from themselves.
Yeah,
that's very
yeah.
True.
One thing I like live by is like, I don't take anything personal from someone who doesn't know me personally. So if like someone that I know and love is saying some mean stuff, I'm gonna be like, you know. But if you don't know me, you've never met me. If you met me, you'd probably love me. So I don't really care what you have to say, you know.
Yeah.
Because like, they probably would love to be my friend, actually.
There it is. Yeah. And the people that are closest to you, if they do say something to you, it's like usually to challenge you to like better yourself or whatever it is, and that's okay too. But yeah, for the most part,
You never have to make people feel bad. You never
to
have
make
to
someone
like,
else feel better.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, well, also in educating people, you know, too.
Right,
it's
and just
like,
saying it the right way.
Can I give a summary?
She loves the summary.
I do. In summary, if you don't like something about yourself, work your hardest to love yourself for it and take that as, I am unique, this is who I am, and own that for years and years and years, and try and work hard at it every single day. If you notice it's still affecting you and you can't get there, try all the natural ways and work for it. You know, if it's with muscle, if it's like with the nose, I mean, you pretty much just have to, you know, just try to love it every single day. And if you can't get there, then
do what you got to do.
And I just want to add something
too. Do what you want to
do. I don't think that a girl that gets a nose job because she was insecure about it, all of a sudden is going to love yourself. Loving yourself doesn't the most beautiful girls in the world are insecure. Getting a nose job isn't going to make you love yourself.
That one thing isn't going to change that.
Like, there's
but
a lot of people.
But if you love yourself already.
Right, there's a lot of people who have gotten all the surgeries in the world and they're still face tuning.
That's very true.
So you need love comes from within. Yep. It doesn't come from looks.
And sometimes, like, a girl will get a surgery and it'll have the opposite effect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't have. The grass isn't always greener.
Yeah. Look at botched. I think
lot of things happen. A lot of people don't understand. You ruin a nerve. You get in a nose job, and you can't feel your face anymore.
Or you go blind. I've heard about that. People were getting. There was this new trend. I was getting a facial, and the lady told me the new trend is to get your forehead filled. And if you fill the wrong area of your forehead, you go blind. And I'm like, that is not worth it.
No, a lot of people who do like, because I have some. My mom went to cosmetology school, so there was a time that you could like get licensed to do the filler in your face, and my mom was scared because if you do the wrong thing, if you hit the wrong thing, you can paralyze parts of your face. You can go numb.
Yeah,
you gotta
study your
doctor.
Gotta weigh it.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, yes,
so and then if you do decide to go that route,
make sure
you love yourself. So many things, right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, make sure you love yourself first.
Yep.
and always, right? It's like, that's like the thing that you got to work
at. That's key.
And then like whatever the physical stuff, if you don't like something and you can't get rid of it, you can't change it, still bothers you and you want to fix it, make sure you do your research.
Do your research. Because if you look up girls dying from butt jobs.
Oh yeah, don't go to other countries. Look it up. You'll be very cheaper. Scared.
Yeah, no, and maybe that'll scare you out of it.
And if,
out
and of if it. You're going to get it done, insane. Spend the money to get it done because otherwise you're going to be spending the money to
fix it.
Get it reversed and sometimes
you can't
it's permanent.
Reverse it.
No. Yeah,
you
a
can't
lot of
reverse
times
it.
It's permanent.
Yeah.
You are young, but like with this platform like you take on a huge responsibility, you know, and even if it's your genuine lifestyle and people see you being disrespectful to your mom,
yeah.
And then, you know, they're going to look
at that.
Then
they think that's okay.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, she does it, and she has a huge following. Like, let me do that to my mom. She doesn't know, you know? And it's like that, you know, that's not okay because that leads on into your everyday life, too, of, you know, respecting others, respecting, like, the people that you work for, people that work for you. Yeah. So it just, like, it's like a kind of a domino effect, you know, for the rest of life.
So but, on your YouTube channel now, do you, like, showcase you and your mom fighting?
I've had like two videos of that, but because we try to like film it like a reality show, and especially like we still film it like a reality show now, but especially like 2 months ago we were just literally showing everything.
Yeah.
And for example, this one day we were filming and we just like we're not getting along, and so we just filmed that, and then you're right, like there is an audience watching, and they're gonna see that, but. Yeah, I don't think of that sometimes. Sometimes like I literally just like film what's like going on and I don't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important too. Like always in the back of your head, like, you know, even you just got to realize that there is an audience out there, and if you know your audience, like you know what age demographic they are and stuff too, so you kind of like want to be responsible for that audience as well, even though you are in that age demographic.
Yeah.
So it's like you're, but with that, you got to grow up a little bit quicker than the rest of the world, right?
Because,
you know, you're a role model at that point to a million people, and that's a lot of people. And then from there, they're being influencing other kids and other people as well, so... Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, you can't go anywhere on the internet without running into the most horrible takes.
You know, your good old-fashioned homophobes, or your self-proclaimed alpha males, who are writing two-page articles titled, How to Score the Perfect Female in 10 Days.
If you are just as sick of these outdated takes as we are, you will love our podcast, Outspoken, hosted by me, Sam Collins, and my incredible partner, Shannon.
We are an LGBT couple who have seen it all, been called it all, and are ready to take on the never-ending world of outrageous online opinions.
Each week, we bring you the most ridiculous videos, hot takes, and hellbent news we come across on the internet.
So come laugh with us as we dismantle outdated ideologies and tear apart the most confident idiots on the internet on our podcast, Outspoken.
You can follow and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you are listening right now.
The second clip is about staying true to yourself.
Like, I'm happy, but also sad, but also, like, can we, I always, like, my message to people is I want them to be you. Like, I want people to be themselves. Like, you can look up to people and you can be inspired, but you don't have to copy them.
Right,
like,
right.
What makes that you? Like, because it's also the
thing. I think you draw inspiration from a variety of people. That's what kind of what I do when I made my content. I was like, oh, I like Casey Neistat. I like Devin Supertramp. I like David Dobrik.
But you don't copy it 100%.
No, of course.
These girls are, like, literally doing everything the same.
But I guess... like, for me, if I were to see somebody do something similar, it wouldn't really affect me because I'd be like, no, I do it. Like, I'm nobody could do what I do.
So it's fine. But it's a little different with parents and pictures. Like, no one can copy your personality, like what you're doing, but they can copy your look pretty much to the T. I mean, look at how many little Kim Kardashians there are. Yeah. I see literally girls that I think that they are Kim. I'm like,
there's actually like a Kim K. Like, she's famous.
I saw her at Coachella. I've met her before, but I saw her. I was like, oh my God, that's Kim. Like, she looks like her to the T.
There's a J-Lo too.
There's
a J-Lo, in L.A.
There's a Bieber, too. I saw him at Coachella.
Oh, really? Like, there's Jesus maybe it was also. Him, Hollywood Boulevard.
So, I mean, I think that just comes with, like, being popular. People are always going to be, a certain type of person is always going to be obsessed, and they're going to do stuff. So you kind of just got to embrace it, but the immaturity in me sometimes is like,
because there's so much, like, work, and then you do end up wanting more. It's never enough. And that was an important lesson, and, like, this past year, I've been in retrospect, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, who was that girl? Who was that girl before? You know, I need to get in touch with that, you know, with that person. And I was like, and all these, like, books, I started reading up on a lot of things, and it's crazy, but, like, every single book was like, you have to start meditating. You have to start meditating. You have to start. And I was just like, why is it telling me to meditate? Like, why are all these books talking about meditation, meditation, meditation? But, like, then I started, like, getting into Yogananda, and I went for the course, and I started, like, learning the actual, like, it was crazy, but, like, the details of it and how, like, the science of it. And you can't even argue with it because it's so true, and it's, like, it's so black and white. And we are made of energy. So, and, like, the more you meditate, the more you're getting in touch with that energy. And we're so blocked right now because we're so distracted. We're so distracted by so many things. Like, we're distracted by our phone. Like, every 2 seconds, we're, like, we're doing something. Right. We're on our phone, or we're on our WhatsApp, or we're on our, you know, we're watching something, or we're talking, or we're working, or whatever it is, but we're never really, like, with ourselves. And yoga just kind of, like, I mean, meditation and yoga kind of just helps you zone into that. And meditation more, because that's all you have to do. You have to be in a complete state of relaxation, and it clears up so many energies. So for me, like, it's been crazy. Like, ever since I've started it, like, things have just become, like, calmer.
Yeah. And well, no, you feel very, like, peaceful. Every time I'm around you, I'm just like, ah.
Well, I think every age, you have to embrace every age. But I think just personally in my 30s, I was, and I'm still healthy, but I was just, I just was vibrant, healthy. I mean, great things were happening, and it was just a good age. And
I think you tell me your body was the best it's ever been.
Yeah, because when you're, everything is the way it's supposed to be. And, you know,
and wise, like, you, like, were like confident in yourself, you know, because it's like maybe in your 20s and stuff,
you're still learning about yourself, and you're still, but when you're in your 30s, you're just, you think, I mean, you've learned so much, and you know, your 20s are behind you, and you just feel confident, and it's really, it's nice.
Yeah. And that's what I hear too. They're like, 30s are the best.
Well, now I think 50s are the best.
See, this is great.
Like, 50s are the best, guys.
And why are 50s the best?
I just feel, I lived a great life, and and I feel good. And I mean, I've been through surgeries, and I've been through, you know, a bunch of.
My mom is like, what, 5 months post major back surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have, I mean, I have screws everywhere, and I have some screws loose in my head.
No, but my whole mom's whole back, her whole neck.
Well,
is
I have metal all in my neck. And so I'm a robot, and I have metal in my back and metal in my
airports
ankle.
Must be fun.
Actually, they don't bug me any. It's really? So weird. Well, because I think when they do the scan, they can see where my metal is and stuff. But
they're like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, but mom. It's like for people. For mom, she's just like my biggest inspiration. It's just so amazing because so many people have I had kids, or I'm old, or I'm 50. I'm not working out. I'm not living my life. She literally is metal. 54 has had a million kids. She literally nothing stops this woman.
Here are some activities that are good for the mind, the body, and the soul.
It's not just about looks. Like, you don't talk, you don't do anything. It's not about talent. You don't do anything. It's literally how you look, and you work so hard to get there.
Amazing.
So it's like, for me, like, I would kind of be like about girls that have like fake butts or something, because that's the biggest muscle to work out. Like, biggest cheating.
Please teach me something for glutes. I hate doing glutes. Like, please, I need some tips. Sure.
But so in the competitions, though, you're not allowed to have fake butts, are you?
So yeah, that's interesting. Is that I think that the judges probably know you get marked down. Like, no one that has a fake butt, I don't think, wins. But there's definitely girls, and probably nowadays, because that was like years ago. Now, like, fake butts are in now that it's probably more. But it's just hard because you work so hard.
Absolutely,
like,
right?
Literally, you're working out, dieting. Like, when you're the day of, 2 days before, you can't drink any water.
There's no water.
Like,
I know.
It's the most unhealthy sport ever. It's so bad
but
for
you. But it's a true test, though. It's a true test of, like, your discipline.
Yeah, and I was doing this at 16. It's it taught me so much.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I saw what my brother went through, because we came for one of his competitions, and it was like 3 days before. And I remember, like, it was insane. He had a cupboard, okay, like in his kitchen, and it was full of sweets and, like, you know, like, really, like stuff. And like,
so, for afterwards?
Yeah, and like, so what he would do is, because it's like, you know, like, you have to eat certain things, you have to weigh everything that you're eating. Mm-hmm. Then again, it's like, and it's the same food like every single day, and it's like that goes on for like 4 months, and then and then you get into like the major kind of like week right before, and then there's no water, and then there's this, and then and
with the no water, you're on diuretics. It's like, how do people not die?
Yeah,
I'm like, surprised I didn't die.
Yeah. So I'm just like, why are you doing this to yourself? But then I was like, wait a minute, like, you know, like, it's like, I fast every single year for Lent, okay, right before Easter, so I do 40 days of it. So like, I took out everything. Like, I took out like coffee, I took out like sugar, I took out like, you know, like pretty much like everything that's in like my food groups, and no alcohol, no this, and not that I drink that much, but and and like, it's crazy because like, you have to also be very aware of what you're very attached to, and we're very attached to food, you know, because we get it on a daily basis, and it's like, it's just, you know, it's just there all the time. Yeah. And so you have to
addicting
kind of
in its own.
Too. Yeah, dude, I had such like a mental, a eating disorder kind of from it, because I did it for that 16 to 18. I was so young when I was doing it too, and like, I like, a protein bar was like a cheat meal. Like, nowadays, a protein bar is like a healthy snack. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so literally, like, I would go to places with friends, and like, they would leave food on their plate, and in my head, I'm like internalizing it, like, oh my god, how could you leave that? Like, I'm staring at the food. I'm like, oh my god, please let me eat that. And you like are jealous of everyone around you because they get to eat, and it's like crazy, like mind, like. And then when you're done and you're like normal, and then food's normal again to you, but when it's not like that, it's insane. Like,
it's so
went through it.
Yeah.
Hard.
That is
when
tough.
I would go.
I have thoughts on this. I've always dealt with anxiety, and it was pretty manageable. Like, it started around middle school, and you know, it escalated from like different seasons, different times, and it was always a very manageable thing. And then around, I want to say December-ish, maybe, for the first time, my anxiety felt unmanageable, which I would say like led to sort of mild depression. And I never felt like that in my entire life. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm always so ecstatic that even when shit goes south, I'm like still good. Like, I'm still feeling fine. You know what I mean? And for the first time, I was like, my anxiety is not controllable. I don't know why. I feel unmotivated. I feel sad. Like, you know, music wasn't sounding the same. Things didn't excite me like they used to. It sucked. But I feel like in those situations, you have to take a step back. There's a few very important things I did that solved that problem. One of those things was, accept it. Accept that you feel like shit. Don't keep questioning, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel this way? Don't let people say, I don't understand. What are you anxious about? Like, you have nothing to be anxious about. If your emotions are always validated, it doesn't matter how psychotic they are. If you feel a certain way, you feel a certain way. Accept that you feel that way. Embrace your sadness and go, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going on. I'm not denying it anymore. I'm going to seek help. Secondly, you have to then evaluate your life, your poor choices, your good choices, and what you could do to actively help the way you're feeling. So I looked at everything. I was going, all right, you're not sleeping enough. You're drinking a little bit more than you should. Like, there's different unhealthy decisions that you're making. You're burning the candle at a lot of ends. Like, you haven't spent as much time with your family as maybe you should have. Like, I was looking at all my flaws and a lot of my negative habits, and I'm going, all right, so let's start correcting these, because these aren't helping your anxiety. Like, this is just making it worse. Started correcting those, and then I went, what could help your anxiety? You know, being outside, working out, things like that. So if you're feeling anxious and sad, huge, huge thing that helped me, I was super out of shape, I was eating like shit, and I wasn't doing anything for my physical fitness. Mm. I now make an effort every day to walk everywhere, to get outside, break a sweat of some sort, whether it's going and skating, doing this, doing that. And hitting the gym, working out helped my mental health so much.
It's a form of meditation.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Like when you're working on, like for me, I go on the longest runs and yeah. That's when I get clarity. Mm-hmm. That's like, I feel my best.
For sure. No. And look, and it's not like you're just going to, I'm going to like spiral because there's like a lot I need to say. And I feel like people need to hear this. Working out really helps. And I'm not saying that you need to go and you need to be bench pressing every day. It's more of the idea of sticking to a routine. Like see, like it's different things. It releases serotonin. Physically, you're going to like the way you look, which just makes you happier. When you're comfortable with your body, you're going to be happier. Like, that's just how it is.
My response to Shannon would be is train for yourself. Don't train for other people. Live your life for yourself.
That's what I say, too.
Whatever you do, do it for yourself to make yourself happy. I mean, genetically, you may not be a skinny person, and don't accept that. Be the best Shannon you can be. Mm-hmm. And if you need motivation, what I do with everyone, I challenge them to set a short, obtainable goal. Nothing more than 3 to 4 weeks. So in 3 to 4 weeks, if, you know, it's bikini season's coming up or that dress that you haven't worn in a while, you know, like a short that's going to challenge you, but you can obtain that goal. Mm-hmm. So once you obtain that goal, you'll be, okay, I got in that dress, so maybe another 3 to 4 weeks, I'll go to, you know, this dance or whatever, this concert coming up, and I want to look really good for it. Mm-hmm. So always set short, obtainable goals that are challenging, but you can reach. And do it for yourself. Don't do it. I mean, people out there, don't live your life for anyone else. Live it for yourself. You know what I mean? It's like a chase great. Boys and all that other bullshit. That's all bullshit.
That's always what I say because everyone always asks me, how do you stay motivated? And it's like, if you're getting motivated to impress a boy, if you're getting motivated for the summertime,
it's short-lived.
You're not going to be motivated for long because you're going to lose interest in the boy. Or you're not going to care. And then summer's going to be gone. Winter's going to be here. You have to have it for your own self.
Bye, summer. But you got to make yourself. True. You got to make yourself a priority, and a lot of people don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know, and that's for any age too.
All right, yeah, but I also don't think all guys are into the.
Everyone has different sites, so maybe a guy likes the not so skinny little waist. Like they don't want that.
I like them thick.
Guys like curves.
I like them thick.
Yeah,
everyone has different.
And some guys
things.
Love like a slim girl.
And like when she's saying like she logs into IG and every girl has a skinny waist, I'm like, okay, that's not true.
I see what she's saying though. Yeah.
But she's looking for the skinny waist because that's what she's insecure about. So she's probably judging herself compared to those girls. But
it's like when you buy a new car too. It's
you're
all
looking
you
at
see.
All the cars. When I'm about to get my hair done, I'm looking at everyone's hair. Yeah. Usually I don't care.
Sure.
It's like that's what she feels insecure about, so that's what she's judging her and comparing herself to. But when in reality, there's a lot of like bigger models like that are getting very popular nowadays.
Absolutely.
So it's like you just have to embrace it. Like genetics are
confidence.
A thing. Yeah, and genetics are a
true.
Thing.
Yeah,
and
love yourself.
Sometimes so many girls like they always want to like they DM me or message me and they always want to look like me. I'm like, okay, but. If you don't have genetics to look like me, you're never going to. And why would you want to look like me?
Right.
Look like you.
Look
be
like
the
best
version of you. It's like I always try to tell girls, it's like if you genetically don't have the genes to have a big butt, you're never going to unless you get a fake butt or whatever. But it's like, why do you want a body that's disproportionate? If you don't have your genetics and a body shape for it, it won't look good anyway.
Right.
It's like have the nice, firm body that fits your body.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. It's just like embrace yourself.
Yeah,
like
sound advice, way to go.
And then now I've found that like focus-wise and all my ideas, like I was in a creative rut during this time. I couldn't think of any ideas. I'll be at Barry's boot camp at like 7:30 in the morning. I'll be sprinting my heart out on the treadmill and boom, like my photo shoot idea will come to my head.
That's
like randomest times or half the time I normally do Barry's, half the time I get out of my workout class in the morning. The first thing I do is make a FaceTime call in the locker room. And I'll like call somebody and be like, yo, really random, but I just got this idea.
I do that the exact same thing on my runs.
Yeah,
like,
so
I'll pick up and I'll call like.
Yeah, I feel like Oh Honey maybe even could have been a product of a run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like once once you get to this place where you kind of get all of your thoughts to flow much freer and you feel controlled, it's really helpful. So overall, like what I'm going to say regarding your anxiety, regarding feeling sad, just little things I did to help. Clean first. Do everything so that you feel. You know, baseline zero, like you're good.
They say your home is a representation of your life. So if you have a messy home, it leads to a messy mind, messy.
So like that helped me, working out really helps. Eating, like what you're putting in, like in your body, eating healthy is so important. It's like putting shitty gasoline in a Lamborghini. That's like the phrase my mom always used. You have to put good gas in a nice car and you have to treat yourself like a nice
91.
Car. 91. Yeah, exactly. You got to put the 91 in you. So like that, you know, that's going to help you a ton too. And then, I mean, this doesn't work for everyone, but I personally think having a routine is a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Like I love waking up at a similar time every day, like going and getting a breath of fresh air, like walking to my local coffee shop, saying hi to the super sweet barista that's always there. Like those little things create a sense of like peace in a very hectic life. Anyways, and that really helped me too. And then the last thing is like boredom. Boredom for me is what drives me absolutely f-ing bonkers. If I don't have something to do, I'm going crazy. So like set a project. If you don't know what you want to do in your life career-wise, set small projects. Be like, I'm going to lose this much weight, or I'm gonna paint. I'm gonna make a painting. Like whatever it is, just set a project, stick to it, and do it. And fulfilling something that you set out to do will bring you like such an overwhelming feeling of satisfaction that I think that could definitely really help. And don't be afraid to talk to your peers, talk to your parents. Don't be afraid to go to a therapist or a psychiatrist. That doesn't make you crazy. I have a diagnosis. Is that how you say it? I have a diagnosed mental health issue. Like I was diagnosed with serious anxiety. You're not a crazy person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was so terrified for a doctor to tell me like, yes, like you have this. Like I, you know what I meant? Like I was so scared to see a therapist. I thought that made me weird. And like, it's so not, it's so normal. I'm sure that both of you guys at some point or another have had a complete mental breakdown and had to go to a therapist.
Like, I went to a therapist because my parents went through a divorce and it was like,
yeah,
they were like, you need this. And I didn't even know I needed it, but I was like, well, okay, I'll
you
go.
Got, look, you got to deal with your feelings. You got to acknowledge them and you have to actively chip away and work at making them better. It's not going to be an overnight process. It's going to take a while, but you will start to see a difference.
Now, this last clip is all about confidence and just moving on forward.
I've learned so many life lessons. I think just one of them is like always keep on moving forward and like don't, you can't let like shit drag you down, because there's been like times where like you feel there's like so much pressure on you or like on yourself or like so many things are going wrong and not the right direction. Like I remember in 1 week I got like hit with like a lawsuit, like three of my friends in my house were like, screw Team 10, I'm leaving. Yeah. Like personal life stuff, like I was like fighting with like parents or something, or like whatever it was, like just,
it's a lot,
shit was just not like going well in that like 1 week I remember specifically. And it was like, man, you like want to give up, but you just gotta like keep on going and stay focused on like the why of like what you're doing in this world. And I feel like a lot of people that don't have a why when bad shit happens to them, and they don't have a purpose, that's when they give up or they fail, because they're like, wow, this is super hard, and like they don't have a reason in themselves of like why they're doing it. So I think like keep your head up, as like cheesy as that sounds, but it's like so true. If you stay above all the bullshit, like it can never drag you down.
Right.
And if you have a why to what you're doing in life, whether it's, why am I working at McDonald's for this period of time? Like I'm working here because I need to. Mm-hmm. Or like your why is, I want to be the president of the United States the one day. Whatever your why is, that will like
motivate
make it,
you.
Yeah, it'll motivate you. But yeah, I've had so many life lessons, and like another one is like family, just in general. Me and my brother like went through this like crazy time where we were like beefing and arguing, and like it's just not worth it, because at the end of the day, like we're the only ones that we have for each other, and like we're blood related. So it's like you gotta maintain your relationships with your family.
I think it's great to know who you are and to be yourself. And for people that don't understand it, you know, that's their problem.
Yeah.
Like,
and honestly, I've found in life, the smaller your clique is, the better life is. Like, I've had moments where I'm like, I want to have a lot of friends, I do a lot of things, and then I'm like, why did I do this? There's so much drama. Someone's mad. Someone's this. Someone to get invited. I'm like, oh my god. You have a tight circle is the best circle to have. And I found like me, like how I talked about how I didn't have friends in high school, and I didn't have that like click experience when I was younger. Like as I'm older now, I find it. So it's not like just because you don't have it in high school, you'll never have it. Like she's like, oh, I don't want to be I don't want ever not have friends. It's like some people don't find their true friends until they're way older, like in their late 20s, early 30s. Like
even older than that, you know? So it's like, you can't force it. And a lot of the times people you meet in high school, you forget. Like, honestly, I don't know what, I'm not friends with one person from high school. Obviously, because I didn't really have any friends, but still, I don't like know anyone. Like, I don't, yeah. Some people do have a lot of friends from high school, but like, I don't. So it's like, it's so sad to me when I see like, the young kids, because like we all related to this when we were younger, you know, like kids killing themselves and stuff when they're in high school over like stupid stuff. It's like, you don't understand. It's such like, you know, when your parents tell you, it's such a tiny part of your life. Like literally you blink and it's over. Like, I don't even remember. It's like your life is not high school. Like, but when you're in it and you're living it, you think it's your whole life. You think you're always going to be this person. You're always going to be lonely. It's like, no, you're not. Yeah. It's just a little tiny part of your life, and you can't like it's make your whole life feel like that.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you give it a thumbs up, and I hope to see you soon. Mwah.